1 Corinthians chapter number 3, I want to take a text from that particular chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, I got quite a bit of ground to cover, so I may try to move along fairly quickly. Notice, if you will, verse number 16. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? The book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 16. I want to take as my text these words. Notice the first words of chapter 3 verse 16. Know ye not? And then farther on in the verse it says, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Know ye not that the Spirit of God dwell in you? I want to preach on something that may seem a little unusual, but I want to deal with the works of the Holy Spirit illustrated by ways of a good Christian mother. Works of the Holy Spirit illustrated by ways of a good Christian mother. I realize we live in a day which people have perverted ideas about God. Some people may say, why don't we use feminine pronouns for God? In fact, if you search, you may find some so-called versions of the Bible that do use feminine pronouns for God. You may hear terms such as Mother God or Goddess or the Queen of Heaven. And someone may say, well, why don't we apply some of those feminine pronouns to God? Why can't we approach God and speak about God as a female, as a mother in heaven? The reason why we're not to do that is because God didn't do that. And of course, the Word of God is the pattern that we are to follow. It is a pattern that we are to follow to pray. It is a pattern that we are to follow in praising God. It is a pattern for all of our practices. And if we are to follow God, if we follow God as we should in this realm of speaking of God as God speaks of Himself, then of course we'll use the male pronouns, the masculine pronouns about God. I realize that in our day things have been turned so upside down in so many areas, but that's just simply the way God said it. Now, as far as the works of the Holy Spirit illustrated by ways of a good Christian mother, I do want to say this. We have no perfect and complete illustrations of God using any man or any object upon the earth. And even though sometimes you may try to use things to illustrate God or some characteristic of God, every illustration falls short of Almighty, wonderful, magnificent God. Sometimes a person may try to illustrate the Trinity by using three parts of an egg. Or sometimes a person may try to illustrate the Trinity by using water in its different forms. They may speak about the water that is condensed, the water that is boiled, for instance, and the steam rises. They may try to illustrate it by speaking about the liquid water and the frozen water. People may try to apply illustrations to God, but everything falls short of God. And so in dealing with this, understand that these are not going to be perfect and complete illustrations of works of the Holy Spirit, but I do think there are some things that we might consider. And in fact, let us consider them not to degrade God, not to lower our thoughts about God, but instead to elevate our thoughts about good Christian motherhood. It's a wonderful thing when a woman is truly a Christian mother. First of all, I want you to consider this. Using as my text, know ye not that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, the indwelling Holy Spirit. In the next verse, verse number 17, the Bible says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Of course, we might say that the Holy Spirit is the keeper of the temple. If you will, go over to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 6, in verses 19 and 20. The Bible says there, what? As though they should have known this. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, we are God's, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. If we're saved by the grace of God, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And of course, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants a temple that is clean within and without. I believe the Holy Spirit wants a temple that is that honors and glorifies God within and without, a temple that is fitting for Him to dwell in. Amen. I realize that the Bible said, in fact, some people may refer to this as though it doesn't matter what I look like on the outside. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Well, it's the Holy Spirit that gave those words. The Holy Spirit wants believers to look right on the outside and to be right on the inside. And the Holy Spirit is the keeper of our temples. The Holy Spirit works with us so that our temples can be what they ought to be for Him. And He'll keep on working with us and keep on working with us and keep on working with us so that we become more and more what we ought to be, so that our temples are more and more fitting for Him to dwell in. As far as the mother, the Christian mother, is concerned, the Bible in the book of Titus, chapter number 2, verses 3 through 5, says the aged women that they may teach the young women. And I'm skipping over part of this, but to be keepers at home. Keepers at home. We may think about the Holy Spirit as the keeper of the temple, the keeper of His dwelling place. And we may think about the Christian woman, the good Christian mother, being a keeper. The Bible says, keepers at home. I do think that the Christian mother just staying home enough to keep the home. I think that we need to be careful about trying to draw some very, very definite lines in some areas where the Bible doesn't draw those lines. The Proverbs 31 woman was a woman that I believe kept the home, the virtuous woman, a woman that kept the home, a keeper at home at the same time. She bought a field. She planted a vineyard. She made merchandise to sell, and she sold merchandise. And so, I think there were different facets of her life, and she was involved in different things. And it wasn't as though that she was just at home, and that's the only place that she was. But then on the other hand, if a mother is not at home enough to keep the home, then she is neglecting the duty that she's given. And so, we might think about the Holy Spirit being the keeper of His home, as it might be said, His dwelling place. And then think about the good Christian mother as the keeper of her home. The Holy Spirit wants a clean and orderly home. And I believe that good Christian mothers as well want clean and orderly homes. The Holy Spirit is not pleased with one when one willingly and knowingly defiles his home. And the same thing can be said about Christian mothers. Being displeased when someone willingly and knowingly defiles the home. Of course, you just think about in a good Christian home setting, who so often is concerned about things being clean, things being in order in the home? Well, so often it's the Christian mother. Amen. Then number 2. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. John chapter number 14 and verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. John chapter number 14 and verse number 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. John chapter 16 and verse number 7, the Bible speaks about the comforter. Now who is it in the home, in the Christian home? Who is it that so often is the better comforter? I find this interesting. The Bible talks about the Shunammite woman. She bore a child. The child went out to his father to the reapers. In 2 Kings chapter number 4 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother." I think it is interesting the Bible doesn't say he just took care of him himself, but he said, "Carry him to his mother." Now, so often the mother is better at comforting a child than anyone else in the family. And of course, so many of the things I want to deal with, I think they tie in back in so well with the Holy Spirit dwelling within the individual. The Holy Spirit is there, and the Holy Spirit knows about the individual. As far as the mother is there, she's a good Christian mother, she's there, she ought to be there, and she knows about the situation better than some other people outside the home. And so often the mother can be the better comforter. Now the father, he may try to promote some toughness and some tenacity in the child. That can be good. That facet, that part of it can be very good. And sometimes he may lack a little bit in tenderness. But this just came up recently. Somebody falls, a little child falls, and father may say something like, "You break the floor?" Or the father may say something like, "You okay? Get up. Stop crying." Or the father, "This is my head, my head." And the father may say, "Well, if I had a head like yours..." Sometimes the father may be sarcastic, or the father may try to prompt the child, "Get up and go again. You fell off, get back on it and ride it again." While on the other hand, the mother may be seeking to comfort. And I think so often the mother's the better comforter in the home. I thank the Lord we've got a comforter within us. And I think we can have an illustration of that comforter in a good Christian mother in the home. Then number three, the Holy Spirit is the great teacher and reminder. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter number 14, verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, oftentimes it falls to the mother to do a lot of teaching. A lot of teaching of some simple things in a sense, but on the other hand, things that sometimes may have to be repeated over and over and over again. The father might tend to tell a child how to tie his shoe and think, "I've told him how to tie a shoe." And then the mother may over and over work with the child about how to tie that shoe. And the mother so often, she's responsible for, she's there at the home, and she can deal with the child over and over and over, not only teaching, but reminding and reminding and reminding and reminding the child of things they need to know. Now thank the Lord we've got within us the great teacher, the Holy Spirit, the one that reminds us of truths that we've already learned, but we need to remember. And it is so important. Now, one of the things that I've dealt with as far as preaching is concerned, our services are concerned, one of the things that can be a great help in going to services regularly is that you may already know a truth, but it might be that you're going to face something this week and you'll hear something this Sunday at church that'll help you to remember something that you already know. Now the Holy Spirit is the great teacher and reminder. And the mother in the home, so often, she is a great teacher and reminder. So often in the home, she's the one that sets routines for the children to follow. And she helps them to be orderly in their lives. And so often the father's not there to just keep on and keep on. And I think one of the hardest things, and And by the way, as I'm dealing with this, mothers have got, good Christian mothers have got such a tremendous responsibility. I think one of the hardest things about parenting is patience and persistency in training children. It's one thing to tell them something once. It's one thing to deal with them once. But it's another thing to just keep on anytime and every time something needs to be dealt with, to deal with it. It is so easy to become weary in the well-doing of good parenting. And the mothers, so often, they bear a great responsibility in this area of just over and over telling the child things, teaching the child things, reminding the child of things. Then as well, the Holy Spirit is the great reprover. John chapter 16 and verse number 8, "And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." So, in so many cases, the father is not there to reprove. And sometimes the mother may give a reproof to a child, and finally the mother may, if she's tried and tried to deal with the child, she may finally say, "Well, I'm going to talk to your father about this when he gets home," or something like that. But still, the mother so often is left with the responsibility to reprove things when the child's been told something, to reprove the child, tell the child you're not right there. Some of you may be familiar with the marshmallow test. I think it was back in the 60s. It may have started in the 50s, but in the 60s especially, there was a man, Mr. Walter Mischel, or Mischel, conducted the marshmallow test. And preschoolers were given a marshmallow. And if you read about some of the things that went on, I think there was working with a child to win the child's trust, and then finally the child was given a marshmallow, and then told, if you'll just wait, then you'll get two marshmallows. And some of you may have seen more recent videos where children were given something. It might have been M&Ms, it might have been a cookie, it might have been a marshmallow. Whatever the case was, a child was given something, and the child was supposed to wait until the person came back, and with the promise that the person, when he came back, was going to bring them more. But they had to wait and not eat that one. And you may have seen videos, and it'd be somewhat humorous, but you may have seen videos where, let's say if a child got a marshmallow, they may get down close to the marshmallow, they may look at it, they may pet the marshmallow, they may talk to the marshmallow, they may sing to it, they may just do a variety of things trying to keep themselves distracted or something, trying to avoid eating the marshmallow. Now, according to the test, and somewhere I believe I read that there was about a third of them that just quickly ate the marshmallow. And then there were some that waited the full time and got the reward at the end. Now listen to this quotation. 12 to 14 years later, the same kids were reevaluated as teenagers. The differences were astonishing. Those who controlled their impulses and gratification were more effective socially. They had higher levels of assertiveness, self-confidence, trustworthiness, dependability, and a superior ability to control stress. Remarkably, their SAT scores were 210 points higher than the instant gratification group. Like I've read that they were, and by the way, if I'm not mistaken, they went ahead and checked 40 years later, they were less likely, those that had self-control were less likely to be involved with drug abuse. They were higher wage earners. They were less likely to be obese. There were just a number of benefits that came from those that early along had that self-discipline. And apparently it continued on in some self-discipline. One of the things that was dealt with was the fact that this idea of controlling oneself could be taught. For instance, if there was a child that went for the self-gratification and the quick gratification, that child might be trained, no, you control yourself and you wait. Amen. By the way, there's another note to this that I found interesting. The same man that is so much linked with the marshmallow test, he had his own problem. His problem was cigarette smoking. 3 packs a day. I think I saw 3 packs a day supplemented by the pipe and supplemented by the cigar. And so he had a real problem himself, this gratification of his own desires. And there finally came a time when he saw a person that was, his head was shaved, he had X's on his body, and a nurse said those were places that were marked for radiation. And it seemed as a result of that, he decided that he had to do something, and he ended up quitting smoking. But now, things that start in childhood can greatly affect people even in their adulthood. We live in a day in which so often children are not being taught to control themselves and to be disciplined. The mother, she so often bears such a great responsibility here in training the child. And I realize that, of course, children are sinners, and children, they have their own free wills, and some children are harder to deal with than others, but still, there is that need to work with them and work with them. The Holy Spirit is the great reprover, reminder, teacher, and reprover. Mothers in a Christian home are so often in the best position to be disciplining the children. When it comes to things like this, they're so often there where they can discipline their children. Then the Holy Spirit is the giver of written and unwritten laws. We have the written laws in the Word of God, laws that God has given us to follow. Then we have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And even though sometimes we don't have a specific commandment in the written Word of God, the Holy Spirit still says, you are to do this, or you're not to do that. And thank the Lord for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, as far as a Christian mother is concerned, I preached on the past about the mother laying down the law. The Bible is speaking about the Holy Spirit. Said, for instance, 2 Samuel 23:2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. Then Acts chapter number 16 in verses 6 and 7, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now the Holy Spirit gives instructions. Proverbs 1:8, forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 6:20, forsake not the law of thy mother. In the home, in the Christian home, the Christian mother may have some rules that are just established. This is what we do. And so often the Christian mother is the best one to establish them and the best one to enforce them because she's there. Amen. Then in addition to that, of course, with the way things go, sometimes it might be that decisions have to be made just as life is going on. What do we do about this? Can you go outside now or not go outside? And just, there are a variety of things. Like the Holy Spirit leading the individual outside of the specific commandments in the Word of God, the mother, she may not have a rule for everything in life, but still have to make decisions as she goes. Should you do that or should you not do that? And so much of that falls to the good Christian mother to make those decisions. Of course, she's to be led by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit herself. But in the home, so often, the mother bears a great responsibility in that area. And then the Spirit of Truth and the guide to the truth. The Holy Spirit is a great Spirit of Truth and the guide to truth. John 16, verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of Truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. We can trust anything the Holy Spirit says because He's always truthful. The Christian mother ought to be truthful. The Christian mother needs to have a reputation with the child. She tells me the truth. If I wonder about something, if somebody told me something, I can go to Mom and ask her because she's going to tell me the truth about the matter. If a mother lies and is deceiving with the child, then of course that can undermine her authority with the child. She is to be truthful in her dealings with the child, and she is to be the guide to truth for the child. The Christian mother, she may guide the child to truths that the child needs to know, and then sometimes she may not know. She may not know some things. How many homeschool mothers have come to a point where maybe they were able to teach their children phonetics and math, English, so on, just the basic subjects, and then there came a point where the child was going to take chemistry. And the mother said, I don't know chemistry. But the Christian mother may point the child to some place where the child can get what he needs to take chemistry. A guide to truth. As far as the Christian mother helping the child to come to the truth, in the book of 2 Timothy, the Bible speaks about Timothy's mother and his grandmother, their unfeigned faith. Then later on in the book it says this, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. From a child, Timothy knew the Scriptures that can make him wise unto salvation. The Apostle Paul did not spell it out, but I suspect that there was a grandmother and a mother that had taught Timothy the Scriptures that he needed to be wise unto salvation. So often a good Christian mother is in a good position to be teaching the child basic things such as you are a sinner. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. In a good position to teach them about Jesus Christ and what He did for them, dying upon the cross and the resurrection. So often the Christian mother is in a very good position to give that child what that child needs, so that when the Holy Spirit has prepared that child's heart, that child can come to Christ. In fact, I think so often the mother may actually be the one that leads the child to Christ. Because so often the good Christian mother is there to work with the child. And so it's a great responsibility to be a teacher of truth, a guide to the truth, and especially we might consider the truth that the child needs to come to Christ as Lord and Savior. And then, the Holy Spirit is a great intercessor. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 26, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. As a child of God, there are times when I do not know what to pray for as I ought to pray for it. And the Holy Spirit is able to intercede for me. The Holy Spirit, knowing the will of the Father and knowing me, can effectively intercede for me. The Christian mother sometimes is in a very good position to intercede with others. The father may see something, and maybe the father's been off at work and he comes home and he sees something. But the mother may speak for the child and say, well, this is what has happened, and explain more fully the situation. The mother may need to intercede sometimes between the child and perhaps some instructor. A mother may need to intercede between the child and a physician. The mother may be able to explain the case of the child better than the child can explain his or her case. And so the mother sometimes may need to intercede. Now, of course, there's one mediator between God and man. I'm not talking about the mother interceding in any sense for salvation. I'm just talking about the fact that sometimes the mother may fill that place of interceding between the child and someone else. And then, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I find that interesting. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And then the last part of that, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is in me. If I do right, the Holy Spirit is in me. If I do wrong, the Holy Spirit is in me. But the Holy Spirit stays with me. A mother is always a mother to the child. And it doesn't matter if the child is good one day and bad the next day, she's still the mother. And the Christian mother can be tremendously grieved when the child refuses to do right. And I think especially, and our church, of course, has been one to really promote homeschooling. But I think the Christian mother, when the Christian mother has invested hours and hours and hours, day after day after day, year after year after year, it makes her even more vulnerable to being tremendously grieved when a child goes astray. Some mothers may turn their children over to other people, and then if their child goes astray, they may blame those other people. They may blame other influences and say, well, it's because of them. But when the mother has invested hour upon hour upon hour, year after year in the child, it can tremendously hurt the mother when the child goes astray. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 1. The Bible says, a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 29 and verse number 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but the child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, and as the Holy Spirit dwells within in us, it grieves the Holy Spirit when we disobey, willingly, knowingly disobey the will and word of God. And the Christian mother, after the Christian mother is very clearly taught right and wrong in an area, and invested hours in not only teaching but repeating and forcing, I think sometimes the mother hurts much more than the father hurts when a child goes astray after all that investment. You take in our case, I work at home quite a bit, but still, I've spent quite a bit of time away. I've worked other jobs and so on. And so there's many a time when I was not there with my children, when my wife was. And she was working with them. She was teaching them. She was reminding them. She was reproving them. She was there. She was investing. And I do believe it can be very hard upon a Christian mother when a child does go astray after such an investment. And let me say as well, the Holy Spirit can give the believer, can cause the believer to produce a love and a joy peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, faith and meekness. The Holy Spirit can produce those things, cause us to produce those things. The Christian mother can do a lot. And I understand that there's a father and there can be other... But still, the Christian mother can do a lot for setting the tone in the home. For there to be a peaceful and a loving and a joyous tone in the home. For there to be long-suffering, and you just go through the list. The Christian mother can do a lot to help there to be the right atmosphere in the home. Now, I've said those things, and early along I said something along this line. Let's consider this not to at all lower our thoughts about God, but instead to elevate our thoughts about Christian motherhood. If you think about the responsibility a Christian mother has, what a responsibility it is. What a tremendous responsibility. Which, of course, could help us to realize that Christian mothers need prayer. And there's so many attacks against Christian motherhood today. There's just the influence of the world in general, and then sometimes there are direct attacks. If a mother is with her children, teaching her children, and doing what she's supposed to do, well, some people may act like she's not doing anything. And they may act like, well, I go to work. What do? And I think sometimes Christian mothers that are really trying to do right are demeaned, looked down upon, when they've got such a tremendous responsibility. It is only by the grace of God that a Christian mother can bear the load, the responsibility, as she should. But if you will, please stand.